Are we good? All right. No, this is a parable about the great wedding feast. And I told y'all that one day there's going to be a great wedding feast. I don't know how to explain all that, but we're all going to be around the table of God, whatever that is, and we're all going to be waited and served by the Lord Jesus Christ. The great wedding feast, and we all want to be there, right? Now, I'm going to read this again for the sake of the tape. It says, now when one of those who sat at the table with him, and him is Jesus, heard these things, he said to Jesus, blessed is he who shall eat the bread in the kingdom of God. Then the Lord said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are ready. Who do you think this Jesus is referring to as the one who had the great supper? Yeah. Now, we certainly, this sermon is talking about, this parable is talking about the great wedding feast. But what I want us to see first, there is a great feast right here this morning that we partook of. Right? The Lord's Supper. What a great feast. So my point of bringing that up at this point here, if I'm not interested, if I'm making excuses all the time to miss this supper, I assure you, you won't make the other one. Because God is very serious about our excuses. And we'll see that as we go through this. Because, you know, as much as he's done for us, as much love he had for us, we should be more than willing to at least take a day out of our lives. 1 week, a day, to show our appreciation. Right? But unfortunately, we find excuses. It's the great wedding feast that's yet to come, but don't forget this feast, please. We've got to kindly see we're in a feast now, but there's one yet to come, okay? Here in Luke 14:18 says this, but they all with one accord, after they were invited, they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. You know, I might not be as sharp as some, but would you buy a piece of ground before you would go see it? I mean, is it just an excuse that's being used here so that they wouldn't have to come to the feast? Jesus has given an illustration of how silly sometimes, or how ridiculous sometimes, that the excuses that we give to avoid our worship. And he's very, we'll see, he gets very serious about this stuff, because he says, do you love me? Show me. You know, I can say I love God all I want. I can say that day after day, I love my Jesus and all that. But do you? We prove it by our actions. And this is what he's saying. Being excused because I got a piece of ground. What's a piece of ground? Is it worth? I mean, think about it. Look at this one. And another said, I have bought 5 yokes of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. You're going to buy 5 oxen. And you think it would be worth going to test my ox rather than to have a worship with God? Because these excuses are just illustrations. I know that. That the Lord's given illustrations of how that he's asked people to come, okay? He's asked them to come. But they say, you know, I just don't have time. We were talking about that this morning. I'm so busy, 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 busy. So busy. And this one, still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Boy, this is, I have married a wife and I cannot come. What does that tell you? This guy, this that henpecked, I mean, is he so wrapped up in his wife that she becomes more important than his God? That's what Jesus said. That's what this is all about, isn't it? You know, Jesus said something about this. Take this to heart right here. Jesus said, if anyone, you or me, anyone, comes to me and does not hate his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brothers, his sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Do you, you know, that's pretty, that's stern right here. That's hard. Now, God wants us to love our children and love our wives, love our family. What he's getting across here is this. You can't put them before me. And that's so easy for us to do. Because we love our family. We love our wife. We love her, whoever. But when we start putting them over and above serving Jesus Christ, and the simple thing is worship, I can't be here because I got something else so important. Really? You don't think God takes notice of these things? This parable is telling us he does. He takes this serious because if you're going to think about this yourself, put yourself in this situation. Let's say that you made a big dinner and you called your family. Come, I'm going to have a big spread. And I want you to come. I've mashed the potatoes and look at it in the context of Easter. That's a pretty good time we all get together. And you spread at the table and you have, you worked hard. Thanksgiving would be better. Turkey. Oh, yeah. Fix the turkey. And you got everything set in order and you invited all the your children and your friends. And that morning you get up and you said, you'll be there at 11. We're going to have this big feast. I'm putting this in a way we could understand. And you add up, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting. 11:30. 12. Well, they must not be coming. How would you feel? Would that break your heart? Would that make you feel like, how would that make you feel? How do you think Jesus feels? He died for us. He gave his life for us. He puts up with us. He has patience with us. And all he's asked us to do is worship him. Come into my house with the rest of my people. That we all come together around this table and enjoy the fellowship with him and each other. But I don't have time. I got something else to do. Now, do I believe in my heart that there's never time or reason to not be here? No, I don't believe that. I believe there's times that we may have to miss. But you know what I'm getting to? A habit. A habit of hitting and a missing. See, we got to take our worship serious, y'all. Because we got a homecoming to come to one day that we all going to be there and give him our worship. You know, we try to worship the best we know. You know, you could shout, holler, however you want to do it. I don't have a problem with that. The problem is my heart into what I'm doing. Because if it's not, God knows. And you say, well, I wouldn't be here if my heart wasn't in it. No, that's not true. People come for other reasons. Maybe somebody invited. Maybe I'm hitting and missing because I got so much other things to do. You know, the devotion to God is getting down to what's important. What's important to you? And Jesus is not saying that we hate people. That's not the context. The idea here is that he wants to be first in our life. First. Sometimes it's hard to keep him there. Really is. But we got to take warning because he's shown us in this parable how he feels. Okay? The master's angry. The master got angry. He got angry. It says it here. In Luke 14:21, he says, so that the servants came and reported the excuses to his master. And then the master of the house, being angry, he said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor, the lame, and the blind. What is he saying here? The lame, the poor, the blind. What is he saying? You know what he's saying? These are the kind of people who need him. These are the kind of people who really will be here, who know they need him. I know these talking about physical things here, but how about our, until we come to a place that we've really got a relationship with God and know him really, we'll be here. Every ounce of us will be here because we know what he's done for us. We lose sight of that sometimes. Religion is one thing, but a relationship with God, Jesus Christ, is something else. He wants us to know that we love him. And the people, do you think a blind man being healed, oh my gosh, I see it. I can see, Lord. You know, when we're spiritually able to see, we won't have a problem with being here. We won't have a problem of waiting to see that wonderful, I don't know how it's going to be, this wedding banquet that's going to be. We want to be there, okay? That's the point. This is what this parable is trying to get us to do, is to see that if we got a need, how much of a need do we really have for our salvation? Because until we get that need understood, we're going to be, like we talked about this morning, wavering, hitting and a-missing. How much does God mean to you? Those who have a need. I believe that from my heart. Do you know? I can't explain this the way. Do you really know what it means to have your sins forgiven? Do you know that we are all condemned? See, these are the misfits. They really are. These are the ones who didn't have a way to pay back. These are the ones who couldn't say, well, Lord, I'll come, but I'm sure I'm going to get something from it. But we should feel that way because we will get something from it. Because someone who's in a need is looking for help. We're looking for help today, right now, for Jesus to carry us another day, another week, another step. Because you know what? You can't do it by yourself. I can't do it by myself. Because we're weak, we're poor, we blind. We're in a need. Gosh, until we see that, we're not going to see the Jesus of the Bible. This is what he come to do. To take care of us. In a state that we can't help ourselves. We can't do enough to pay him back. But when I feel like I don't have to be here, or, God's okay thing. You know, that kind of sounds like you're doing God a favor if he's been here. You know, if we're here or not, he's still God. See, in Matthew 5:3, you remember this? This is a Sermon on the Mount. He came to the Jews. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." What does that mean? That means that until we realize we're spiritually bankrupt, and as we are, then we'll turn our life over to one that can help. That's why Jesus said, go out there and get the poor and the lame. And because those who don't really feel like they need Jesus, ain't no point fooling with them no more, because they don't need him. He wants us to realize today and thank him today for dying for us and giving us this life that we now call a Christian. He said, went on to say, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Mourn. Mourn for what? Mourn for your sin. Do you mourn for your sin? This kind of teaching is not very popular. I know that. But sometimes we need to be, we need to let God give us a wake-up call. This may not even apply to you. I'm just saying this is that parable. This is what this parable is about. Only you could answer that. This is talking about you, but I think it's talking about all of us. Because all of us are spiritually bankrupt. All of us should mourn over our sin. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. See, it all comes down to one thing. Blessed are those who have a drive to seek after God. And this is where David was at. That you want to see a man after God's own heart? Look at David. We've been studying about David. David wasn't a perfect man. He had plenty of problems, nor are we. We're not perfect either. But blessed are those who hunger and thirst after his righteousness. We have a drive. We have a will to look for God and to chase him down. And you know how we do that? You can't find him anywhere else. You can't find his righteousness nowhere else. Look at Jesus. That's where the righteousness is found. And we chase him down and come and give as much heart to it as we can, because he is our source of life. You know, Paul wrote here in Corinthians. He said, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." What is he saying? If we think we know more than God, we'll never know God. Some people think they know more than God. Some people think they're above God. Some people just don't care whether they have anything to do with God or not. But it says they'll never be called because they don't need him. They don't need him. And that's a sad condition to be in. A sad condition. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, and he is coming, will find watching. Surely I say to you that the master will get himself and have them set down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them, so blessed are those servants. He's going to show up one day. He is. Or you're watching for him. If you love him, you'll be watching for him. He's going to be looking for him. We're going to be waiting on his call. May not be today. Might not be next week. But you know what? If I get in a car and go out here and have a wreck and kill myself or get killed, that's your day. That's my day. That happens. Death is sure to come to all of us. I don't care death, how young, how old. But watch for him because he's coming. And when he comes, we want to be ready. That's the point. Let's not be slacking. What excuse will be good enough on Judgment Day? You ever thought about that? What excuse are you going to give God on Judgment Day? For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his holy angels, and he will reward each one according to his work. Yeah, I don't know all about the judgment. I don't know all the answers to that judgment. But I do know one thing. He is coming back. And he watches our life. I don't know how many excuses we can give for not serving him, whether you're not a Christian or you are one. I know many that I have personally baptized into Christ, they don't show up. But you see, there's a day of reckoning coming for all of us. And he wants us to understand that when he comes, there will be a reward according to our works. See, what we do on this side will tell us what happens on that one. Because our judgment is already set. Y'all know that? Our judgment's set right now. And it sits around this table. So it's up to us now as whether we want to be in that great wedding feast that's coming one day. And it is coming. And Calvin said it this morning, for you have been faithful people here. And I thank God for that. And maybe this don't apply necessarily to us, and maybe it does to some degree, but I'm just saying faithfulness is what God is looking for in our life. Whether we think we're doing anything or not, I'll tell you the truth about the matter is you are doing something. In God's eyes, you're faithful. That's what he's looking for. Because you know what? We're the blind. We're the lame. We're the misfits of life, maybe, to a lot of people. But to God, we are his blessed people. And he wants us to show that by the way we live our lives, the way we live it out. And it's no better example than how we live out there as well as in. whether you don't think you might be important, but each of us is important to this body. Now, God said, this may surprise you, but he said, the least among you is the greatest. Well, which one is the least here? Let me think. I don't know. I don't want to go there, but the least among us is the greatest, so we all great in God's eyes, because faithfulness is his goal for us. We don't want to be given a lot of excuses. And y'all know what I'm talking about. We all do. We can find an excuse. If there is one, be sure it's a good one. That's all I'm saying. This parable here showed me a lot of things. I ain't touched on what this is really saying because it's too much. But I think the point's been made. We could scratch our head. I like pictures. We could scratch our head and really think about this. You need to think about it today as you go your way. What is one excuse that would be so important that I'd miss God? One of the apostles. the one that would he came to. I've lost it right here. I hate to say that, but which one was it that when the 12 showed up, he wasn't there? Huh? Thomas. Gosh, I knew that like the back of my hand. Thomas missed. The first time Jesus resurrected, he wasn't there. He missed it. You don't know what you're going to miss if you're not here. I mean, you might have missed me preaching. You never know. But the whole point is, look, God's a good God. He loves us so much, and he wants us to serve him with a whole heart. It's that simple. And I see your faces come in the morning. I know you're here because you love the Lord. And that's so important to me. So important to me. And I hope I'm important to you, like we were talking about earlier. Because one day, when we're sitting around this table, that the Lord's going to serve us, I want to be able, and I don't, I don't know how all this is going to be, but I look down the table and I see Peggy. Well, I see her. I see Ray. You see how important this is? Well, I see Joyce. See, that's important because if we can't make it here, will we be there? No, we're going to make it here. We're going to make it here. We're going to make it. And I tell you how we do that. Keep our eye on the Lord. That's how we make it. See? Let us be ready when the Lord comes. In 1 John 2:28, John said this, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." When he comes, if he came today, I believe that we wouldn't have to be ashamed because we're here trying to serve him right now. Right? But how ashamed would it be if he came today and I was out there fishing or had something more important to do? I don't know how God's going to see all that, but according to this, it don't look too good because I got one verse I didn't put up here and I'll read it for you. It's the end of this whole parable. He said, "For I say to you that none of those men who had their excuse would be at my supper." I'm going to have a song, and we're going to have a closing song if y'all would like to stand.